We're back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. We're continuing to get reaction to yesterday's developments in the Dontre Hamilton case. The decision by the DA's office not to file charges against former police officer Christopher Manny and the announcement later of a federal Justice Department probe in the case. We're joined by occasional Lake Effect contributor and news analyst Eric Vaughn. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. Glad to be here.
It was kind of a whirlwind day yesterday for the Dontre Hamilton case. It started in the morning with a press conference from the district attorney saying that no charges were going to be filed. And by late in the afternoon, a protest march was taking place. And at the same time, the U.S. Attorney's Office announced it was launching a federal probe or looking into the possibility of launching a federal probe in the case. What was your take first on the DA's announcement and then later the significance of what might take place next?
Well, I was watching this from early yesterday morning. As you mentioned, the news coverage started as soon as the morning news started, 5 o'clock, if not sooner. And it carried on throughout the morning, excuse me, and into the afternoon. I didn't appreciate that very much because I thought that it was a lot of hype for not a lot of purpose. Yeah, people needed to know that there was something going on. And I guess if you hold an event, you want the media to show up. But as someone pointed out this morning, I think I saw it on Facebook, there were people, news people, lined up in Red Arrow Park very, very early in the morning before probably the protesters were up, essentially inviting them to come on down. We'll tell your story. And what that seemed to do to me, not to me, but to people who were watching that throughout the day, to me, it appeared that people were getting antsy, kind of riled over what was taking place or what the media was reporting to be taking place.
Do you feel like the media was driving the storyline?
I really do. I mean, obviously, there was a news conference at the federal courthouse that was worthy of coverage. There was the beginning of the protest march as they exited or left the area from around the federal courthouse and made their way down Wisconsin Avenue. That was worthy of coverage. But then they trailed them for blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks, and it was unnecessary. And I think that all it did was serve to get those people who were already concerned about public safety even more so.
Do you think it has an impact on the relationship that those people have with the police that are either along the route that they might be marching or just encounter them in everyday life?
Well, I think that what I saw was a reaction from people who they encountered on both sides of the spectrum. Obviously, there are people who feel that they're being inconvenienced by this protest march, as they were on the weekend when they went on the freeway and went some other places. Understandable. If you're out in traffic, you're trying to get from point A to point B and something gets in your way, you're annoyed by it. But there were also people who were showing obvious signs of support for the protesters, fists being thrown up out of the windows, horns being blown, and rallying cries being yelled from the car. So I think you have some of both. I think that when you have police officers leading the escort, as you saw, leading the caravan, as you saw yesterday, in my mind, it takes away the likelihood there's going to be any drama, that there's going to be any unwanted behavior. And so, again, that's where I think the media kind of just overstated the issue yesterday. The story was John Chisholm deciding that this man shouldn't be charged. Officer Manny shouldn't be charged. That was the story. And then the reaction, the fallout as a result of that clearly was to be told. But just to fill up the entire day with noise made no sense to me.
Well, let's talk about the decision itself. Did it come as a surprise in any way to you?
No. I think after so many years and so many incidents in this city in particular and other cities around the country where you've seen this happen time and time again, there are no surprises. You almost go into this expecting the outcome that we saw yesterday. It's unfortunate that that's what you do, kind of build up in your mind, and you learn to live with it, because we shouldn't have to live with that. And by we, I mean society should not have to live with that. It offends many people, not just black people. And if, as you've watched the protests over the last several weeks, last several months, the lines have been filled with people of all races, creeds, and colors. So it's not just black people who saw the injustice in the execution of Dontre Hamilton. But if you look at the Dontre Hamilton case and you trace it back through several other cases that have occurred in this city, no, you can't be surprised at what the outcome was. If you, as I mentioned yesterday on a post that I put up, if you know the history of the DA's office in Milwaukee County, you will never be surprised that a police officer isn't charged. E. Michael McCann prosecuted one police officer for the death of someone in his entire 30-some-odd years as the DA in Milwaukee County. John Chisholm comes from that same mold. He was mentored by his own admission, mentored by Mike McCann. Almost, some would say, hand-chosen to succeed him. Obviously, he's had to be elected since then, but the initial appointment to the job came with all of the, you know, endorsements of E. Michael McCann. So to think that this DA's office would do something that is different than what they've done for many decades now would mean that we're expecting something miraculous to happen, and we all know that miracles don't occur too often.
It is Christmas week, though.
It is Christmas week.
At the same time, there have been federal investigations, the federal civil rights investigations that have been launched by the Department of Justice in the past. They've come and gone. Would you expect what is your – what's your ultimate hope from what might come out of this one? Is it too much to ask that an investigation like this would result in any kind of systemic change, or do you see it really as about this single case?
I think it is. I think, unfortunately, it is about this single case. I think we've had a number of these federal investigations that have resulted. You know, you take the Frank Jude case, that resulted in civil charges being found and brought against the offenders in that case. It didn't change the system. And unfortunately, I don't think that this will change the system in and of itself. We keep waiting for that change to occur within the Milwaukee Police Department. But it's really about the individuals, because, you know, I know that yesterday one of the attorneys representing the Hamilton family made a comment about all of the police officers in this city not being bad. And I would agree with him. I mean, you know, and I know that there was some reaction to that from the people in the audience who were not happy to hear him say that. But if they think about it, somebody they know is a police officer, and somebody they know, they would say, is a good police officer, is a good person. So I don't think that all of the police officers who serve Milwaukee are bad. I think that there are those officers who are bad at what they do, just like there are people who sit behind microphones and are bad at what we do. So the problem is, these police officers have the ability to determine life and death. And that's where the problem rests with me. And that's where we need to make the distinction. Many people keep, I think, missing the point, some purposely, about why this riles people, particularly African Americans. There's a pattern that has been developed, continues to sustain itself. And if you've watched this over the years, as an African American, you become, you know, I don't know, immune to
numb.
Yeah, to the justice system. You just don't think that it's working, and it seems to only work. You know, I think if you could look at this, if a person looks at this, and for 1 second could eliminate the black and white question, except that that is the huge issue. But particularly if you're white and you look at this, and if there were black or white men being killed by police officers at the rate that black men are, it would raise questions. It would raise their hackles. They would be angry. They would demand investigations just as black people are doing now. They would demand justice just as black people are doing now. It's not strange that people are calling on the local DA, now calling on the federal government to do what it seems local law enforcement won't do, and that's investigate itself, police itself.
You mentioned the idea that you know, there are obviously people who are police officers who are bad at what they do, just like in any profession. And, you know, we actually, you know, we hear that discussion in a much different arena when people talk about, you know, bad teachers and the impact that they have within the system. And not to bring teachers into this necessarily, but you know, let's go back a step. I mean, is there something to be said for the idea that are we training police officers wrong? Are we recruiting the wrong people as police officers? You know, what's going on at the front end of this, do you think, that enables this to, you know, persist, you know, through the generations?
Obviously, you know, I mean, I've had over the years opportunities to talk with people from organizations like NOBLE, the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, the International Chiefs of Police, those kinds of organizations that kind of look at data and determine the hows and why. I think that a lot of it has more to do with hiring the wrong people, and that's both in education and in policing. That's probably in any profession, getting people who are not fully trained. And in the case of police officers and teachers who are not empathetic to the environment that they are going to be working in. People need jobs nowadays. So, you know, if you're fit and able, you can run a mile, you can, you know, lift 100 pounds, you can do all of the physical things that you're required to do if you're a police officer or to become a police officer. You can pretty much get in the door. You haven't, you know, harmed anyone, except that we found instances in Milwaukee and elsewhere where officers have come from other departments and have had all kinds of black marks on their records. So it's even when you do the kinds of checking, background checking that departments do, for some reason these people squeeze through. But I don't think this is about training. I mean, all of these officers go through training. It's only a problem with training when an officer does what an officer Manny does. You don't hear officers complaining about the training they're receiving. It's a nice loophole for them to kind of latch on to when they are in trouble. Obviously, the union, I believe, provides them that kind of, you know, escape clause, you know, and promotes using that to get them through whatever travails they may be engaged in. But I don't think that this is about training. I think that, you know, we see officers do their jobs every day. We have these rare instances where and they're less rare now than they were at one point. But we have these instances where these officers take it upon themselves to hold court right in the middle of the street. You know, I, as I said before, if white men were being killed by police officers at the rate that black men are, black boys, black men, there would be all kinds of cries about doing something. Now we get finger pointing. We get blaming the victim. I read someone yesterday saying, well, maybe his family shouldn't have allowed him to sleep in the park. Well, I mean, here's a guy with a known mental illness. If anyone understands that, or if you understand that, then you understand that that's not a situation that a family can always control. I mean, he's still a human being. He can still go and come as he chooses. And that's what apparently was the case with him. I think that when you look at the totality of the incident from the start. And from the start, I mean from when two officers approached Dontre Williams in the park. Dontre Hamilton, excuse me, and determined that he was not posing a threat to anyone, that he was not doing anything that warranted their attention. They moved on. You have to ask, what was he doing And we know what he was doing even when Officer Manny approached him. And why did it turn into the situation it turned into? To me, that's what even the most the person who is objecting the most to all of the protesting and all of the aftermath of this would begin to look at if they're looking for a fair and reasonable answer for why these things occur.
And our time is short, but let me ask you this question. For the people, the many people who are concerned and who in the past have taken to the streets to express their concerns, what do you think the next step in this ought to be?
Well, I applaud the family of Dontre Hamilton. I applaud all of the people in this community who have rallied around the effort to bring justice to the name of Dontre Hamilton and to his family members. They have been out there on the front lines from the beginning. They faced ridicule and scorn. They faced, I think the police department needs to be commended too, because at another point in time, this same police department would have probably reacted differently to these protesters. So whatever it is that's causing them to stand down and allow these folks to have their say and to have their rights respected, that's to be acknowledged. But I think the next steps are just as they planned, and that is to continue to pressure the local government, the federal government, for what they believe to be a just end to this situation. I don't think that there is anything wrong with what they've done. I think that, you know, we've seen peaceful protests in this country and around the world over all kinds of issues. Certainly, I mean, I'm offended when I, you know, quite frankly, we've had people who have raised more hell over a dog being mistreated or cat being mistreated or some other animal being mistreated. And there's no objection to those people protesting and doing whatever they do. There should be no objection to people protesting the loss of a human life.
Eric Vaughn, thanks.
Thank you.
Eric Vaughn is a former Milwaukee morning radio host, founder of the men's health website Brain, Brawn, and Body, and an occasional Lake Effect contributor. We'll take one more break and then talk with a Milwaukee man who found himself surprised to be arrested protesting in the Dontre Hamilton case last Friday. His story when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.